Hey everybody, I'm Michael Scher on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the future stars of wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. And Joe, I don't know, anything going on this weekend that you might have up? Going to any concerts or
going to go home show? This is the go home show for the HyperX. We're ready to roll.
Really? This is it? This is what we're doing HyperX this weekend? Holy mackerel.
Yeah, we're here. You know, got put together really quick and you know, we had some time and time's done.
That's right. New Year's resolution is this Saturday, the 24th at 7 p.m. So what has this last week been like? You know, trying to get everything, you know, situated. And I know you guys had to go in and, you know, make sure everything is up to par. You guys know what you're doing when you come in for the load-in.
Yeah, you know, we set up the music. I have one little issue with the computer. For some reason, on the right side, the video stuff don't want to play. So we're trying to figure that out, but the music was out, sounded good. The videos looked great, and you know, we're really hoping that you know we kind of set a new bar. You know, we've done some great things, and now we're working with a place that has such value on production. You know, that's right. The one thing, you know, the Silverton, we had the screen, you know, we used the video wall the one time, and as great as it was, it became a disaster because it knocked their lights out, which was ridiculous, you know, and all it is, you know, plop and drop, you know, we plop in the ring and just run a show. And it's really nice, you know. It makes me feel like what I think WWE feels when they go to a venue that they're working with.
Right.
Instead of just give us our money and we're housing the event for you. Right. And even at the Silver Nugget, we were just there and, hey, we got a lighting guy or a sound guy. But this one, it's like, you know, people on their own dime are trying to make this happen and want it to succeed and make this a long-term production. And, yeah, you know, this is step one. So, you know, thankfully we have 17 years of experience going into this, but we're working with people who have years and years of doing live events and, you know, fortunately, the main guy, Kyle, is a big wrestling fan. So right. He wants to see wrestling here, which puts wrestling on the strip, which makes it a huge, huge deal. So there's a combination of a whole bunch of things that makes this extremely important for us. It's also our tryout to make sure FSW is worthy in their eyes of running multiple shows, WrestleMania week, and doing other events that Joe's ideas in his brain that he has that aren't, say, applicable at the Silverton or Silver Nugget or anywhere else that can make it happen. And doing it where it isn't like, oh, yeah, sure, just give us 10 grand and you can do whatever you want. Well, you know, that isn't always the easy way to do things. You need somebody who believes in you, that believes that mutually can be beneficial. And as much as I like to think how it's mutually beneficial to the other venues that we've run at, it just doesn't seem like they've made that clear. Like, I get a call yesterday, like, hey, what do we expect the numbers wise? We don't want the issues you have. We want to make sure we have enough bartenders, enough servers. And it's kind of like, hey, just so you understand, you know, there's the Silverton big shows are the big shows that were drawing 500, 600, 700 people. They don't fit that there. So we don't need to go crazy with the bartenders and servers, but immediately we're talking about only having two bartenders and two servers. That's already four. While at the other place, we got one and it was pulling teeth to get a second person, except you're the one who's losing out on the money and you get mad at us for saying, can we get another bartender? Because we want our people to have a really good experience.
Yeah.
And, and taking it personally, this is business. The money that you're leaving on the table, that the next time around, like March 8th, that we've already got the agreement for, I'm paying $700 more.
Right.
So that hurts us financially. Yeah. You know, so it's like, man, everybody better act as professionally as possible. If you're not, I don't care who you are. If you cause issues, you're not needed.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a big card coming up. You know, Kenny King, your first champ, and G Sharp, your current champ. Did you ever think all these years later you would be doing not only a show on the Vegas Strip, but Kenny would still be around and, you know, in as good of shape as he's in, and, you know, still get a chance to give it one more go before, you know, kind of saying goodbye.
Yeah, I would believe it. It's the fact of the matter is when I see Kenny at training, I see he's always been in fantastic shape. You know, he's a Chippendale, you know, he isn't that wrestler guy who, you know, gets 40 pounds overweight and has to wear a t-shirt. You know, Kenny's always been in fantastic shape, always cuts a really good promo, and was always a very, very, very good wrestler. So it's mind-boggling to me that I thought more of the issues would be based on Kenny either wrestling at TNA again or AEW, that it's mind-boggling to me that Kenny hasn't gotten a contract.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So it's kind of watched Kenny maybe transition to where maybe he thinks, you know, that time is done. You know, I don't know. You know, what goes through someone's mind who sees people on TV and he sees a lot of the younger cats getting the opportunities. And, you know, sometimes the mind plays terrible tricks on you. And it makes you believe something that might not be true just because of the fact that, you know, I know he's got people in AEW. I know he's got people in TNA. But for whatever reason, as easy as it was for his first 20 years that when he didn't have a job, you know, at Ring of Honor, he went to TNA. When he lost or didn't re-sign in TNA, he went back to Ring of Honor. And it was like, you know, he always had great relationships with the companies that he's been with. So, you know, less is more for FSW. The less Kenny works out, the more he becomes available to us.
Right. On the same thought, but the other side of the spectrum with G Sharp, do you think that, you know, Greg is one of those guys who has the other question of why hasn't a company stepped up and, you know, used Greg on a regular basis or given him a contract yet?
Yeah, you know, when Greg just made that transition from Hyper Streak and then started getting hot, he did get some opportunities. You know, him and Jacob Austin Young, you know, got work in New Japan and they did a lot of stuff in the United States. But unfortunately for him and Che Cabrera and Tito Escondido and at the time Jacob Austin Young, they cut back on everything they were doing in the States for a while.
Yeah.
And then when they came back, they had a new philosophy, and it featured basically running shows with the New Japan talent. And now all of a sudden, the U.S. guys who were trying to get their name in there became far and few in between. You know, Tito hasn't done a tour of Japan in a while. Yeah. And thanks to TJP, Jake ended up getting an opportunity because they needed somebody in Japan. They fell in love with him, obviously, and he got to be the one. But they weren't looking for four guys. And if they were looking for four, I don't think you could have did worse, you know, with Tito, Che, Jake, and Gregory Sharp there.
Sure.
But unfortunately for Greg, they needed one. They got one. And he's still, you know, on the hunt, you know, sure, to get that deal. But he's going out there and day after day, you know, you see him all over the place, you know, and challenging for championships. And, you know, look at Sharp 5 years ago, look at Sharp 10 years ago, and then look at Sharp today. And you could just see, you know, he's in the prime of his life. He's in his early 30s. So it isn't like he's 40 years old. You know, he's a guy, you know, Matt Vandegrift, he went through the New Japan dojo. And when they did do stuff in the U.S., he was a guy that they focused on a lot. And, you know, and again, Greg didn't get that opportunity. So, you know, does he want to go out and prove? I don't think because it's Kenny, he wants to go out and prove. It's, I think he goes out there with that chip on his shoulder every single match he wrestles everywhere around the U.S. Great opportunity. Thursday at 3 p.m., we're going to be on Channel 8 with our guy JC again. And they're going to be doing an interview with G Sharp and Kenny King live. So, you know, stay tuned for that one. And it's going to be interesting to see because, of course, there's tons of respect. You know, when Sharp started at 19, you know, Kenny King was the guy that helped train him. You know, 3 or 4 years later, they got a match at the Silverton that Kenny King won. Now the shoe's on the other foot. Sharp is the champion. You know, Kenny is that veteran guy. And as we said now, you know, if we say 50 is the new 40, 40 is the new 30. So Kenny is not, you know, Kenny's only done when Kenny wants to be done. At 40 years old, you know, look at WWE. Yeah, 40 years old is where the main eventers lie.
Right, yeah.
You know, the 25-year-olds, they're getting their feet wet. Oh, my God, Bron Breakker, you know, but look who's at the top of the mountain.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's definitely one for the ages, you know. Kenny King, the Vegas OG, the guy who, you know, really solidified being a wrestler from Vegas. You know, back in the day, it was the Godfather. And now it's Kenny King.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, it's going to be something to see. Title versus title, Jordan Oasis and Sun Liu. You know, when you look at just how much both of those guys have to prove, because they're both champions, but I would imagine that both of them are looking towards G Sharp, right? Towards that main champion. Well,
you would think the ultimate prize is the heavyweight champion of the company. You know, Hiro Sun Liu was a, you know, tag team champion, but he was a guy who he needed a break from wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, these guys took two different paths to get championships around the same exact time. And Oasis was through the ID program. And I think he's learned a lot about the business. And, you know, he had a mindset that me and him didn't always agree on.
Yeah.
You know, he had his thoughts, and that was great. He uprooted and came here, but we have a standard of what we expect from people.
Yeah.
And the fact that you were trained elsewhere doesn't make you just leap above everybody here. You still got to get through our system.
Right.
And, you know, Hero is a guy who went through our system.
Right.
And now they're both in a position where whoever walks out victorious takes that next step.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, and how they got there, everybody's journey is different. And, you know, you look at all our champions, you know, you can have stories about everybody. You could talk about Jordan Oasis starting at the Buddy Wayne School and coming to Vegas, but then drifting off to Rikishi School for a while and bouncing around. While Hiro Lu, tried and true, you know, for a lot of people who don't know, he was in one of the, he was in an early Rumble match and tore his ACL after that.
And
he was gone where I thought we would never see him again, you know, at least a year and a half later.
Yeah.
And then he came back, and now up until recently, he was the guy that decided that, you know what, maybe this isn't for me. But now he's been rejuvenated, and he's at the top of his game, back in fantastic shape. And you know, maybe what we thought when he was all in 3 years ago, maybe he wasn't. Because I think he is way more focused on the – and not the wrestling, but the business part of the wrestling.
Sure.
You know, there were some things where he got some opportunities and let it slip by, not getting things done in time, blood work for WWE to maybe be part of the SummerSlam weekend because Daivari got his job back and was high on him and hit me up about him, and he didn't get it done and missed out on a great opportunity that – I think the San Lu today, that wouldn't happen.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, again, two big guys who, you know, have a lot to prove to themselves. Should be very interesting to see those two go against each other. Mariachi's trying to get those tag titles off of the Suavecitos. If the Mariachis win, are you ready for the crowd celebration that will happen? Because that party could go on in the Luxor for 2.5 days after they win.
I'll tell you what, it'll bring our food and drink numbers up for sure. You know, maybe if they win, we can have a cerveza party, and you know, they'll discount some cervezas. You know, for the fans.
I mean, how important is it for them? You know, we've talked at length over the years about the Suavecitos, but the fact that the Mariachis, you know, they've had a lot of positive fan reaction and a lot of growth just by being fan favorites at first, but now have reached that point where you can see that they're starting to understand everything a little bit more. And now they're starting to click. Even though they're brothers, it still took them a while to really understand the psychology of how to make that tag team stand out. And kind of push each other because, you know, they're big boys. And, you know, a lot of times you can get by on that without having to be in great condition when you have a good fan base and just, you know, a natural charisma to you. But you have to put in the work to get to this level. And obviously they've shown that over the last year or so that they've started to get to that point where you're starting to not be able to deny the fact that this works.
Well, yeah, you know, but the thing is, when these guys first started, you know, great for me, obviously. So their first show is at a New Year's Eve show. Okay. And they literally sell 50% of the tickets in the building because it's New Year's, family and friends. You know, we're lucky to have 80, maybe 100 people there, but they sell 40 something tickets. So now everybody's going to tell them how great they are. They got a cousin who came in with them to train who only lasted a month. So he sees what they do, but they're green as green can be, and they're nowhere near ready, you know. Right. But the crowd reaction's fantastic. You know, they're real life mariachis. So they got the gear to match. Gabe Sapolsky sends me a text to be like, oh, wow, these guys' gear is fantastic. He didn't say they were fantastic, but he already saw this young tag team got something about it. And then there was a time, and then we brought, you know, put him in some matches, and it was rough. You know, they wrestled, you know, Dutra and Wise Guy. Wasn't very good. Yeah. But then Dutra and Wise Guy wrestled Makeshift Chemistry, and it was like they were younger and they clicked, and it was like, wow, way better match. You know, they're just not ready. But the problem is everybody else tells them they are, and everybody else is giving them the accolades. And then it becomes the same situation of where they believe that they're ready for the big time. And it's like, you know, you guys got some really good things going. You know, it's hard to get a bunch of fans because now you're not selling 50 tickets at a show. Now you're selling 5, 6 because your family and friends who don't really care for wrestling supported you and they came to the Future Shocks or they came to this thing. Now you have to rely on the regular fan base to get behind you. Right. And it still boggles my mind to see them come out at the Silverton and the crowd goes fucking berserk. Like, okay, they didn't sell a bunch of tickets. Yeah. A lot of the Silverton people don't see them on a regular basis.
Right.
But somehow, some way, these two brothers come out and it's electrifying to these fans. They've done nothing yet.
Yeah.
But there obviously is the good old it factor,
right?
That, you know, if indie wrestlers could buy it, that would make them go broke because so many of them can do really cool moves. They can try to interact as much as possible. You could kiss ass before shows and meet and greets and take all the free pictures you want. But there's something about being over.
Yeah.
And being over puts you in a position to succeed because wrestling isn't just wrestling. It's performance based. It's cutting a promo. It's character. And again, it ain't like, oh my God, the mariachis are going to wow you with their look in terms of, oh my God, what great shape they're in. Oh my God, what promos they cut.
Right.
Oh my God, what wrestling skills they got. No, they're good wrestlers. They're a solid tag team, but the intangibles are obviously through the roof because I can't explain why they're as popular as they are, but they are. So now you're going to get opportunities. And now they go to Santino Brothers, and obviously it isn't just in Vegas. Because there's a reason Joey Chaos made them the Santino Brothers Tag Team Champions.
Yeah. Yep.
And having belts in different companies. And now I have to catch them early and, hey, we want to be at FSW, but we're getting hit up for dates. Are you running this date? Because they're a hot commodity.
Yeah.
Suavecitos, they're a hot commodity. And, you know, we're fortunate that they've had great training. They you know, generally, you know, like I say, generally they are team players, you know, and they want to be here and they want to succeed. And just like the Suavecitos, you know, maybe this is a little different. The path with, again, two different paths. The Suavecitos had to take that turn to come around the corner again.
Right.
And do things on the outside and basically see, because there was a lot more butting of the heads where there really wasn't much with the mariachis. You know, there was a couple of occasions, but for the most part, you know, it's been smooth sailing compared to some, you know, rough waters with the Suavecitos, but now all is good. And, you know, regardless of what people like to think or who I don't like and this and that and the other thing, you know, I understand talent and I understand the terrible twos and I understand people believing that because they're getting something elsewhere, why aren't they getting it here? But you know what? It's 17 years. And go talk to Brian Cage and go talk to LA Knight and go talk to Cross and go talk to Bay. You know, you've had your experiences with Bassman and UPW.
Yep.
You can't let the inmates run the asylum. That's the fucking way it is. You know, people have to earn trust. And when they get the trust, like an Ice Williams, he could come into my office and we could talk about anything or what he's looking to do or even, you know, recommendations of people that he feel would be an asset to the company. So now I have a whole bunch of assistance, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
Where it comes to the Codys and the Remy's and the Chris Bays and the Ice Williams and all these guys, because they're my eyes and ears. They're the ones who are traveling all over the independent scene, seeing people and talking to people and Maserati and Brittany Brooks and, hey, this person wants to work. And they know this isn't the money grab. Sorry,
right.
You know, go to work Poder if you want to make a lot of money. That's what you're going to get out of the deal. He's going to pay extremely well, but he's going to run one or two shows a year. You want to be a mainstay in FSW, you have to work within what we want to put together. It's my agenda, like it or not. And sometimes you see people and then you never see them again. And then times you see people and then the grass is greener elsewhere. And now it's time to come home.
Yeah.
And, you know, for those who have put in the time, the effort, and we've had good and bad, you know, 90% of the people that I consider being very close to, we've had ups and downs. Everything hasn't been smooth sailing with Remy Marcel. Everything hasn't been smooth sailing with Cutthroat Cody. You know, we've had our blow-ups over different issues. But when the common denominator is, what are we going to do to make this the best we can? I know I can go to Chris Bay. I know I can go to Kenny King. I know I can go to Remy. I know I can go to Cody. And I know now I can go to Ice. And now I know I can go to Sharp and Jacob Austin Young, who, you know, brings me Bryce Saturn and Damian Desire on a platter.
Right.
You know, just got Bryce Saturn's promo for the scramble match. Again, top-notch work. You know, he's a guy that has a very it's crazy to say he has a bright future, because to me he's already there. But he's a guy that I wouldn't be shocked to see in a bigger company.
Yeah, no, I agree. 100%.
And we have so many of those guys. And it isn't, you know, look, you know, put up that other card and look at it. And the one that has all the matches on there. And you got The Faction and Luke Curtis and Bodie, and Sharp, and Kenny, Hero, Oasis, The Women. You know, Zamaya, Taylor York's coming along. Fallon Gray really coming along. The tag teams, the scramble match. You got, wow, Jaden Cole, man. He's a young stud. And I heard he did fantastic. Remy really put over. He wrestled Devin Reno in PCW. And he killed it. And we know Adrian Quest is great. And Shogun. And Damian Drake, you know, multi-time champion. Then you got guys like Class and Reno. And they mentor Young Money, who have a really bright future.
Right.
And then you're not talking about who isn't seen in that picture, who's going to be in let's call it the kickoff classic. And it's going to be a little bit of everything. We got AJ Aben. We got Fox Valentine, two of the young, you know, guys, former tag team champions are now doing their own thing. And Damian Desire. And then another, you know, Vegas OG. We couldn't get that, intergender match. So Remy Marcel is going to be on the kickoff match. He wants to be on the show. You know, Maserati a little disappointed or very disappointed, you know, because of not getting that intergender. Doomfly was unavailable. Jacob East is still banged up. We can't do that match. Ko is unavailable. We were trying to do him and Zamaya. And, you know, I don't want to throw in some filler of people. We have no idea who they are. You know, even trying to see about Black Swan, who's still injured, and maybe putting her in the match. But it just wasn't meant to be. So right now, Maserati's on the, you know, outside looking in.
Yeah.
But all, you know, who else isn't on the card? Duke Lawrence is the number one contender. He's not on the card.
Right.
You know, Tyler Bateman and Jay Vidal, they're going to be there. Guess they're cutting a promo because there's no match for them. So imagine having those guys and they're still not on a card. Imagine an indie company bringing in Jay Vidal from Florida and using him for a promo. We're able to do that.
Right.
So it puts us at a level of the TV companies where they bring you in and they can afford to do that because you're contracted, you know, but I'm confident enough to know that I got to pay Bateman and I got to pay Jay Vidal and I'm going to pay them to be there because I want as much star power as possible, but you may not be getting a match.
Right. It's crazy. It's crazy.
And that's not counting Matt Vandergriff being injured and being out.
Right. Right.
You know, and there's a bunch of those, you know, Future Shock cats who are, you know, making waves, but there's no battle royal. There's no rumble match. So Hammerstone wanted to be on the show. Graves wanted to be on the show.
Yeah.
You know, TJP was looking to be on the show. And it's like, man, I'm looking at, you know, this is, as I said, this is the test run. If we can get that show March 27th or March 28th, I guarantee you will see, you know, maybe not all of them, but between a TJP and a Hammerstone and a Graves, you know, and a couple of others, you'll see a couple of them back on the card. You know, we're just looking to get better and better. Now, again, you see all them. Who's not going to be on the card? That's how good an FSW show is. You know, we're not an indie. I guess you can call us a super indie. I think that's a good, better term for us. You can call the other companies in town indies, then we're super indies.
Sure. Absolutely.
Because all they do is pluck our lower talent anyway. I can see flyers all over the place, and it's the majority of them are FSW people anyway.
Right. You mentioned this one here. What do you expect from this mix? I mean, that's quite a combination of great talent to see, you know, a young Jaden Cole in there with the upcoming Bryce Saturn, and then you got Damian Drake and Shogun and Adrian Quest, all, you know, big time veterans. It's quite a mix, and you know, a great match to kind of get to play with for those guys to see what they can actually do.
Well, you know, it really is. It is the one crossroads match on the card. Yeah. Okay, let's start with Shogun. Never thought he might wrestle again. Guy was in a coma for a month and a half. Got in a horrific car accident. You know, early reports said he might end up having brain damage. 1 month after what happened to Chris Bay. And the recovery has been miraculous. And he had his first singles match a few weeks back. You know, he's been trying to be ready for 3 or 4 months, but Joe brought him along as slow as possible. Want to make sure everything's good. And now he's chomping at the bit. Let's go. So this is a big match for him. Because if he wins, man, does he get another FSW heavyweight championship shot? Does he want to wrestle his boy Hiro Lu, who they're now on good terms because they wrestled each other on bad terms? Does he want to go after a Jordan Oasis? If Jordan Oasis beat his friend Hiro Lu and now he's got both titles, maybe Oasis defends the Nevada State against Shogun. Damian Drake, you know, here's a guy, came back, had to go do single stuff. Him and Matt reunited. The future was bright. They were looking about, you know, let's go out there. And this is now our time. We're going to get signed. We're gonna, you know, we missed out on some great opportunities. And now Matt gets hurt. And now that's got to be extremely, extremely deflating to Damian Drake. And now he's got to go back out on the singles hunt. So this is an extremely important match for him. Adrian Quest, a guy I put with the Suavecitos. And then they took that combination and took it all over the West Coast. So he's representing with the Suavecitos. First match back in FSW in a couple of years. Very important if he wins this match. Because being aligned with the Suavecitos, this could be what's his stepping stone back into the company.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, then you got Bryce Saturn. How did he get on the radar? Great matches with Matt Vandegrift. Great match with Ice Williams at a Future Shock. Put him in the tag team. Opportunity occurred. Shocked the world. Won the tag belts. Held them. Beat all the major teams available in FSW. Then lost the belt. Now, a spot opened in this match. There wasn't a tag match. And who's the first guy to step up that he wanted in? Bryce Saturn, who could have easily been the Nevada State champion, and we would have never known anything about their tag team reign.
Right.
So he can really use the win. Then you got the youngest guy, Jaden Cole, easily the FSW Rookie of the Year. You know, after one match, Gregory Sharp called him out for because he needed an opponent and wanted Jaden Cole to get that opportunity, which was something that Sharp didn't get for a very long time. And Jaden Cole was still green, but he put up a really good performance. But he learned from that loss and came back and got himself and earned the spot by winning a match to get himself in the Rumble. You know, throughout Jordan Oasis in the Rumble, had a good showing. And maybe leapfrogged certain people. And we've noticed a little chip on Fox Valentine's shoulder. He threw out Jaden Cole. And somehow, it seems like Jaden Cole's kind of surpassed him, where Jaden Cole's got the main show match.
Yeah.
While the former tag team champions, both of them are on the kickoff match. Right. So Jaden Cole's now stepping in with former champions and has to step up with the big boys. If he pulls out a victory against those other four, he puts himself in line and could write his own, write his own check.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely something to keep an eye on. And another guy here, Luke Curtis, going against Bodie Young Prodigy. And, again, talking about battle royals and tossing people out. Luke is basically looking to give Bodie that receipt, I think. And
Bodie threw him out of the Rumble to maybe one of the biggest reactions we've heard. And then he got the match, and Bodie beat him. Yeah. 1, 2, 3. And Luke Curtis didn't take kindly to it and basically decimated Bodie right after the match. Bodie needed a match on this show. And, early renderings, puts Bodie probably in that scramble match.
Sure.
But, as demanding as Bodie could be, came to me and says, I'd love to have a match with Luke Curtis. I want to prove once and for all I'm the better man, said the kid. And it was like, we got this going, that going. Bodie is a rising star in this business, and I felt this was going to be a great opportunity. He doesn't really have much to prove to Luke Curtis. He's already beat him and thrown him out of a Rumble. But you know what? Let's see it again. It was a really good match. So, Luke, that was Luke's first pinfall loss in FSW. So here's a guy who really very, very quickly showed that he is going to be a player and, could be a future champion in FSW that we had no knowledge of a year ago.
Sure. Yeah.
And for anybody who wants to say, Joe doesn't give these opportunities, gave him an opportunity, looked good, gave him another opportunity, looked real good. And what happened? The progression became quicker and quicker because everything that was thrown at him, he knocked out of the park. You're going to get your shots.
And does that play a lot to you, the fact that I think one of the things that Luke really has learned in his growth through the years is how to portray that dastardly chicken shit heel very well. He really knows just those moments to just tweak that button. And it's phenomenal to have someone who you can utilize in that role, because that's one of the harder things to do nowadays, is to play the bad guy where everything is everyone else's fault, but none of it is yours, because I think that seems to reflect now what society kind of is.
It is society. It's always somebody's fault. But here's the thing. So Luke Curtis is a guy, if he's in California and he hits me up, I don't know if I'm going to use him, to be honest with you. Got a lot of guys. He moves here, he starts training here with his wife, who's already on AEW.
Yeah,
but they come from OVW, where if somebody wants to say I'm cheap, I guarantee you Al Snow and Rikishi are cheaper. And that's not a shot, but it's what the value we feel we're bringing to things.
Right.
And Layla understood, you might be worth this. And if you go get booked somewhere and you go do the Potter show, he's going to pay you your top dollar. Yep. But at an FSW arena show, this is what we're doing. We're trying to bring in income, trying to make some money off this to offset the cost of the shows. We can do this for you. But in turn, you know, you're going to get, you can use the facility kind of whenever you want. Like yeah. She had asked, hey, any chance I can get the key? I want to come in for a couple hours. Absolutely. Because and that's the thing. I'm offering you something because you're offering me something.
Right.
You know, it seems like a lot of people don't want to offer anything.
Right.
But are offended that right. I think I should get something in return for you using my facility.
Right. Yep.
If you're part of FSW, or if you're not part of FSW, like Darius from Plot Flight comes in and trains all the time, and Aria Dabari comes in and trains all the time. Hey, Joe, is it possible to get the key? Sure. We don't got anything going on. I'm not expecting them to pay, but I'm expecting one day down the line when I need somebody to help run TV class that Aria Dabari, who's a producer at AEW, is going to come in and help right. out.
Right.
You know? Yeah. But if you haven't been part of FSW and you're friends with people that are training, which happened recently, then pay the drop-in fee. It's $20.
Yeah.
If you got an issue with that, then use your own ring. Yeah. Like, you've done nothing for me. You've made no attempts to be part of this. And all I ask in return is I'm good with bartering. I'm not worried about money. You know, Trisha Dora came in and the first month or two, she paid the minimum fee that I would charge somebody. But now it's you come in and train, and we're going to try to use you when you're available, and you're going to give me a better deal, and you're going to give me that hometown rate, and we're all good. Right. And that's how the system works. You know, if I let you in for free, shouldn't I let everybody else in for free? Why are you any different if you're not doing nothing for me? So, you know, it gives those opportunities. Hey, TJP, you need something. When Mia Yim Mishin hit me up, I was going to let her use the facility for free. It was like, oh, you needed it for an hour or two. Who cares? No, I'm assistant, you know, okay, give me a couple $100. You do it. And she brought in the Magic Mike dancers. And, you know, she's got, you know, her, whatever, 200,000 or whatever followers. But FSW was all over the place. Here, I'm here at FSW. Dominic Mysterio. Like, I'm going to charge Dominic Mysterio $50 to come in and train? Get the fuck out of here. You know? But, you know, him and his million followers, they're showing everything. Hey, thanks to FSW. You know, hey, that's way more important than $50 to me. It's way more important than $300 to me or $500. It's knowing where to go. You know, Mercedes Moné needed to work before her match in AEW last year and hit me up. Hey, can we use the facility? I want to go over some stuff. I got my match at the pay-per-view. They literally had television that day that she wasn't doing. And she was at our facility, you know, working on stuff. But we're the be-all, go-to place. And that's what we want to be. So when AEW is in town February 4th, you know, maybe like a few years ago when they had the pay-per-view, Dustin Rhodes shows up and he guest runs a class that we didn't even know was happening until 20 minutes before when him and Cutie Marshall decided to show up.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're also going to use five of our guys. And do you think Aria Dabari, who trains at FSW and is friends with our guys and maybe trained with a few of them, might not recommend the extras? Because Sky High was at the show in Phoenix. And, you know, the faction were backstage in Phoenix. And I've already got wind that some of our people will be on hand February 4th, hopefully being utilized as extras. And why is that? Because FSW is the company that everybody knows in the Southwest. So they used our guys in New Mexico. They used our guys in Phoenix, and they used our guys in Vegas. And, you know, just like PCW with Dom.
Yeah. Yep.
Why is that? Gallo's one of the main security guys there. So, yeah. Of course, You think Gallo's going to look like a fucking schmuck by putting bringing in a couple of guys in there that don't put in the effort, don't put in the work? No, of course Zamaya is going to get an opportunity. And of course Klass and Reno, if any opportunities are going to be had. He's going to put the creme de la creme, just like I am, when they're looking for extras, if Sean Dean or somebody hits me up.
Right.
You know, it's all connections.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, that's what pays off. All right.
Freezing up over there?
Yeah, a little bit. All right, this one. This is a big one. You talked about ICE and being a trusted voice now. But, man, what's going on with the faction? Are they going to survive this? And, boy, can the Pretty City Express and Young Money take advantage of these guys and what seems to be a little bit of an infighting going on?
Yeah, you know, you got a lot of moving parts in this one. And, you know, for a while we knew Jaden Monroe was, you know, part of, you know, the Billionaire Boys Club of Reno and Klass. And they took things a different way. And Jaden Monroe, you know, hooked up with his partner, RJ, and really kind of clicked and did their own things. But, you know, close to the vest, you know, four guys out of Phoenix. Scottsdale, I guess, where Klass is from. But,
right.
You know, they're looking to, you know, take out the faction. You know, it all started in that number one contenders tag match where Klass and Reno ended up fighting with the faction. And, you know, Watson missed that show due to a death in the family. I believe his grandma passed away and he didn't make the show. And then they ended up having a different tag team. And what was going to be, we thought, Fresco and Watson ended up becoming Ice and Braxton. So they're kind of all over the place. And, you know, Demir got involved and Fresco got involved. And now we got, you know, the faction in full force. You know, we think.
Right.
But, you know, we've seen some sit downs and... In all honesty, I don't know. Is somebody coming in? Is somebody coming out? Is there going to be an influx? Is there going to be new blood? I guess, you know, tune in and find out.
Yeah. And finally, really quick, the women's match. I mean, does anyone, do you think anyone here has a front running chance to be, you know, the first in line for Brittany's title defense?
Yeah, I think Zamaya is the favorite for sure. You know, Taylor York is come a long way very quickly. Fallon is still very, very young in her development, but moving to Vegas obviously proves or shows everybody that she is taking this seriously. You know, you can be a pretty face in this business and in women's wrestling and make money and be mediocre at best. Okay. Right. And when we first used Fallon, I think the word mediocre would have been an overstatement. And I relayed that to her. And there was a lot of reasoning behind it, you know, not a lot of training. But, you know, I see her at Klass a lot. I see her with her book a lot. She pays right. attention. She listens. Each match, she's gotten better and better. You know, right. she wrestled somebody three times her size in SOS, hung tough. She wrestled yep. Brittany Brooks recently. Really good match with her. And they've wrestled each other a lot. So a little easier when you know the other person.
Right.
But not if you don't work hard. You don't improve if you don't do anything.
Right.
And she is so much better in 20 matches, 30 matches from the first time I saw her. Yeah. So being here, you know, Chris Bay kind of comes in early with a crew, and we had the whole AEW crew there yesterday. It was we had Top Flight because they were in Phoenix or whatever, and they did stuff. So Dante came and hung out with his brother.
Yeah.
And the newest member, Zeta Steele of AEW, was also on hand. So that's who Fallen got to train with. And Bodhi was there, and Chris Bay was there, and Brittany was there. And, you know, that's, and Jaden Cole was there.
Yeah.
Taking advantage of an opportunity
to
be there. Because not everybody's invited to Chris Bay's private class.
Right.
Yep. That he runs.
Yeah.
You know, he wants good people. He wants hungry people. He wants people that do things and take care of their business and treat the business respectfully.
Right.
You know, there's people there that, they do a good job. They work hard, but they're all about themselves. They don't go out on a limb to help FSW in any way. And we all see it. We all know who does and who doesn't. It doesn't stop them from getting spots, but it stops them from getting spots when there's four spots and there's nine of you. Well, the best four are getting those spots.
Yeah.
It's the way life works. You don't get handed things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Make yourself valuable to me.
Yeah.
It's all I ever ask. Show your value. Jaden Cole got booked in Phoenix because of me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not like, oh, what a great guy. No, an opportunity occurred. I get a lot of, hey, what about, you know, I got some guys from the Phoenix crew where in turn, I don't really reach out to them. So it's like a working agreement, you know, Class and Reno say, hey, there's Jaden Monroe.
Yeah.
Hey, here's RJ Wild. Okay. You put the vouch on them. Well, I'm putting the vouch because I know Remy's put the vouch on them because Mariachi's have worked PCW and Suavecito's have worked PCW, and there's a lot of guys, but I generally don't step out and say, "Hey, I need a favor."
You're right.
And if I do, and it's to somebody who I think I've helped out a lot, and the response is, oh, yeah, I'll see what I can do, and they don't do anything. Well, I will put it in the back of my head and bring it up when I need to. You know?
Yep.
Because, again, that's what this business is all about. I want FSW to look good, so I'm not going to send a guy unready, a guy with a shitty attitude. Like, I'll be honest with you, when the Suavecitos got booked there, if they were looking for a team, I wouldn't have recommended them because I didn't care for certain things.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
But maybe a Remy did and the others because, you know, and again, of course, when they went over there and they wrestled everywhere, obviously they were on their best behavior. Now, of course, I would highly recommend them, but did that with the Mariachis to East Los Lucha and some of the people that we're friendly with from California for a company.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and that's the whole thing. And speaking of that, you know, Chief wants to see you bring back Hammerstone, Graves, Gallo, and Dom for one more match together.
Well, be honest with you, I don't think Dom's doing any work anymore. I think he's more than content running PCW.
Right.
But Gallo's so busy.
Yeah.
He only really wrestles for Navajo's company or PCW. Right. Because he's on the road with AEW every single week. But I can guarantee, you know, if you want to go to San Diego, Hammerstone and Graves will be in the Rumble match there. But yeah, the plan is to make sure Hammerstone and Graves are on the next show at the HyperX Arena.
One final question from Chief on that is, what time do the doors open on Saturday?
I believe we're going to try to open the doors around 5:30 instead of 6 for a 7 o'clock show. You know, there's people want to come in there. They want to eat. They want to drink. They want to hang out. Some people may want to play video games. So we're going to give them the opportunity to get in early and enjoy the place.
Yeah. All right. Well, final thoughts going into the show this Saturday. I mean, this is, big time.
I believe, we're ready, man. This is the big time. This is, Samstown was big time, but it's the evolution. You know, this is the true ground zero. You know, we're going to have some major announcements. We got Tom Lawler coming back to do some commentary. We're going to take advantage, especially at this place, of the Vegas wrestling scene, where you got guys like TJP and you got guys like Tom Lawler. You know, obviously Jeff Cobb's not available, but there's so much talent that have done big things in this business. You know, even if it's, how do we get RVD to come to a show? How do we get the Godfather to show up? How do we get Carrot Top to come down the stairs and hang out? How do we get Gabriel Iglesias, who loves wrestling? Like, we want this to be the cool thing to do. We want people to be like, oh, shit, they're at the HyperX in the Luxor. Man, we got to make this show. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And, oh, man, they're bringing Royce and Jarrell back. Oh, they got Hammerstone's back. Oh, you know, we want nostalgia. We want guys because – you know, usually nostalgia is in place for guys who used to wrestle 20 years ago, like Alcatraz and 10 years ago and stuff like that. No, we got guys that the only reason we don't use them is they become big time elsewhere.
Right.
But budgets become a little bigger. Now, all of a sudden, that number at the FSW arena, that's undoable to use TJP more frequently. How do you not use one of the best wrestlers in the world? Yeah. Who is willing to give you a really good deal, and he's only got to drive 10 minutes.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
You know, who's also a part-time trainer with you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty spectacular, and, it's a big moment. So the
roster, in reality, man, you guys that are on the cusp, you guys got to figure it out because, again – let's say 8 matches, 25 wrestlers on a show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's.
And for those wondering, yes, the Jester will be on hand. You can watch him maybe grabbing gear or something.
Gimmick, doing the gimmick while working the
You never know, he's pretty popular. Maybe he'll be part of the meet and greet or something. The after party,
right? The mariachis buying drinks for the crowd after they win their tag titles, and the Jester entertaining.
Hopefully, the mariachis bring their own money.
They can pay out of the envelope, right?
Well, they ain't buying very many drinks with that envelope. Especially at those prices. Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it is on the strip, ladies and gentlemen. Remember that.
Yeah, and we can officially announce that the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting are now an official sponsor of FSW.
Yes. Yes, we are. Finally.
Finally, shelled out some dough, man. All these years, I'm like, man, I need some dough.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to make sure the program stuck.
Yeah, you know.
We had to get to nearly 300 episodes for it to be like, yeah, I guess so. All right.
Yeah, you know. Thanks to Sin City Steve, brother. You know what I mean?
Hey, you know, some people, you know, some people know what they're doing with their investments and money, and got in early on some good stuff, you know, back.
So would he buy some NFTs off Joey?
No, but definitely cyber currency is something that Steve worked very well. So,
oh, did he? Very nice.
Yeah, smart.
You mean he got out when he needed to instead of hoarding it, and then all of a sudden it took a dump. Not that I know a kid that ever did that.
You never know, right? You never know what's gonna happen.
You know, if it ever went to a million, he would have been rich, my kid.
Right. Right. But, you know, it's all good, right? He's still around.
Let's see everybody on Saturday.
All right. There you go. Well, once again, thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Appreciate it. Again, the Saturday. You got to come on out if you're in town to the HyperX Arena. 7 p.m. is the start time. Like Joe said, doors probably are somewhere around 5:30. Grab some drinks, grab some food, have a great time. The card is going to be spectacular. And if you can't catch it here in Vegas Live, of course, you can watch it on the Title Match Network. And, you know, this hopefully will be the first of many.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
And cross those fingers. Let's knock it out of the park. And then hopefully we'll do so that we'll be able to announce at the show that we have shows for Mania Week.
Yeah. Yeah, which is going to be something hopefully that happens and will be, you know.
Mecca 11, narcissistic behavior, hopefully coming soon.
So you getting Lex Luger back?
That would be Richard Holiday.
Okay.
Is that East Coast show versus the Mecca West Coast show, basically.
Oh, nice.
Good. It's in the works. In the works.
A good idea, and something that would be phenomenal to see. So hang in there, everyone, for the news of hopefully WrestleMania weekend delivering on the Strip. So until next time, everyone. Take care and happy wrestling.